Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast on a Thursday, start of a four-game series against the Mets. I am Kevin Aces, Jay Posner, back home. I got to be honest with you, Jay. Like, you know, you travel enough. It's just not that big a deal. You're home, you're away, you're home, you're away. This trip seemed like forever. I was so excited to be coming up out of the terminal, see downtown San Diego. It was absolutely fantastic. And I know the Padres feel the same. They're happy to be home. Though as soon as they got home, Jay, it occurred to them, Taijuan Walker, Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman, we have a challenge ahead.
And maybe even Joey Lucchesi thrown in there on a Friday. We don't know who's going to pitch for the Mets on Friday, but certainly a huge challenge ahead. And this is a huge challenging time for the Padres, playing basically five straight series against first place teams. The Astros were in first place. No, were they in first place when the Padres got
there?
They were
in second, but right there in a very
right there with
wonky
the A's.
AL West, yes.
Right. But then, you know, now Cubs-Mets, over a two-week period, both teams in first place, and both teams playing really well. I don't think either one got off to a great start, but both were really good in May. The Mets have not been all that good away from home, so maybe that's a little bit of an encouraging sign for the Padres. What's not encouraging is having to face those three guys that you mentioned, and in particular, Jacob DeGrom, who is the best pitcher in baseball right now, maybe has been for a couple of years going back. And his numbers this year are just silly. At eight starts, he's given up four earned runs. He's given up, I think it's seven walks. It's just insane. So I know we're both going to miss that game in person on Saturday for different reasons. Yours is a lot more interesting than mine. Happy early birthday to your granddaughter. And it will be even more entertaining than Jacob DeGrom. I know, yeah. I know. But
she had to schedule it then, but I'll talk to her. But
you'll get
that guy, every time he throws, you know, Twitter goes wild because he's throwing like 501 mile an hour pitches in a row. Like, who does that? The reason I would look forward to, unfortunately, it looks like he would line up again in New York the next week. I'll go to New York to watch Jacob DeGrom pitch. the Padres, last time they faced him, they didn't maybe beat him, but I believe they won that game, as often happens to Jacob DeGrom. Like, he gives up two runs and the Mets didn't score any. But he's throwing like on average 2 miles an hour harder than he was then with all the stuff that he's always had. People are in for a treat. But gosh, Taijuan Walker, one of the best journeymen that you could possibly have out there. Mm-hmm. The Mets added him to their rotation. You know, Jay, the last time I talk about it all the time, I get myopic about the Padres. I try to check the standings and see what's going on. But honestly, the last time I heard about the Mets, their owner was tweeting, "Hey, hang with us," you know, because they had so many injuries and they were like 500. And now they're 4.5 games up in the East. Now, the East kind of stinks, but they're 4.5 up and they've got this pitching. So that's the thing about when you face the Mets is forget everything. You've got to get some runs. You have to find a way to get some runs.
Yeah, I mean, they don't score a lot. I mean, which is evident from their run differential, which is +6, given the fact that they barely give up any runs. I think their ERA is third, but they don't score many either, although their offense has gotten a little bit better over the past week. And one thing that they have gotten over the past week is some time off. They had three rainouts, I believe, last week. And meanwhile, the Padres have just been grinding and grinding and still have seven more games before a day off. So let's get to the grinding Padres who definitely looked tired yesterday in Chicago. And, you know, not much rest. We talked on Tuesday about how they had a night game after a day game. And then, you know, they came back on Tuesday night and their best player got hurt. And we'll see how serious that is. All indications are, at least what they're saying, and there's always you always have to add that's what they're saying, but the indications are that Fernando Tatis Jr. is not seriously injured, and we can hope to see him back in the lineup shortly.
I saw him
yesterday.
You
have anything to add to that?
I saw him yesterday, and he looked like, you know, fine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a guy who responds to injury and not playing well. Not that you try to read into it, be amateur psychologist. He looked fine. Not like fine. I'm not saying he should have been playing or something. Don't at all. But, you know, he looked like a guy who, okay, this isn't he hasn't didn't spend the whole game in the training room, and right. It is possible. And Jace Tingler just sort of threw it out yesterday. We're hoping it was cramps. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Well, that would be a lot different than an oblique.
There was so much else going on that maybe Jace just sort of accidentally dropped that in, like, oh well, it turns out it might just be cramps, because there was so much. I want to, before I go on, and maybe this will be the last time I mention it for a while, maybe not, but it's that important. Those four extra inning games, particularly the two in Houston, were devastating going forward. And we suspected it as it was happening, that, wow, this is killing guys, even like Manny Machado, who just came back. Oh, first game, 5 hours, 7 minutes. Go for it, Manny. and the night before was almost 5 hours. And the pitching, the extraordinary effort, the extraordinary decision to have Joe Musgrove pitch in relief, the extraordinary effort by Joe Musgrove. And it just sort of looked, then they go in and they face a team that has now won 14 of 17, I believe. Right. You beat the Padres to get into first place. They're tired. And, I sit here and I think, okay, so what's coming up next? Okay. Uh-huh. And you can really go down a slope and go, wow, this could get ugly. Okay. We talked about that, Jay. That's why you go 9-0. That's why you win 16 of 20. I wrote in the newsletter today. I went back and I wasn't going to stop. I could have been up even later. I wasn't going to stop till I got to a World Series team that did not go through a stretch where they lost at least 6 of 8, where they had a 4 or 5 game losing streak. And I got back to 2007. Every World Series team goes through at least one and usually multiple 5, 6 game losing streaks. They don't let it get longer than that. And they lose 6 of 8, maybe even like 9 of 11.
Right.
It happens.
Well, we saw it happen with the Dodgers already earlier this year. I mean, they had a stretch worse than what the Padres are in right now. We'll see what happens. I saw someone tweeted something to me and said, that the Padres have to take care of business this weekend. And I was thinking, or what, if they have another bad weekend, the season's not over. We're still at the beginning of June. There are 100 and whatever. I can't do the math, but it's a lot of games still to be played. And, even if they were to have a little slump here that lasted another weekend or another week, it certainly wouldn't be, in my mind, you wouldn't be panicking about what this meant for the rest of the season, because they've clearly placed an emphasis on the long haul here. And if that means, and obviously they're not planning on having a 2-week struggle as part of the long haul, but at some point you're going to go through that. And the emphasis is on trying to keep guys fresher for later in the year. And, you're going to go on you're not going to play first place teams the entire season. They're done with the Cubs and Mets after next week. We won't see them again. So I don't think you can't say it's a crucial weekend for the Padres. I just, there's no weekend to me in June where you could ever say this is a crucial weekend for a team that's 34 and 23 right now.
In particular, Jay, because if they were at full strength, if Trent Grisham was leading off, right? Let's do our lineup. If Trent Grisham were leading off and Manny Machado was batting second, Fernando Tatis was batting third, and the lineup was what it was supposed to be, whatever Jace Tingler decides that is, but he has all of his weapons and the opposing pitchers have to respect that and they have to pitch around that. And the Padres were going through this and they continued to struggle against good pitchers. That would be a storyline. And you would say, hey, that's great. You can go and beat up on the Reds and the Rockies and you're going to be fine and make it to the playoffs. But come October, but you don't even have that now. The amount of times that I've looked up over the last 3 weeks and said, okay, well, Grisham would be up here, or okay, well, Myers would be up here because he wouldn't be batting fifth, or, that's not an excuse. This is not the Padres. Just like a few weeks ago, that wasn't the Dodgers, that were struggling like that. They had so many guys out. Oh, wow. Look what's happening right now, that the Dodgers are getting everybody back.
Yeah. No, you just have to look at the first inning last night with what happened with their game. And getting Cody Bellinger back is so big for them. But let's assume that Tatis comes back this weekend. Let's assume that Grisham comes back maybe this weekend. You mentioned the other day that there's a chance he might even go get some at bats in the minors.
We're at the point now where it's like 2 weeks and it's like, right. You know, so 10, 11 at bats. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. I didn't look at the, you know, where he would have to go. I mean, I think with COVID
protocols, they get in Arizona. They get in Arizona extended spring.
Right. Extended spring. Because normally you could get him with Elsinore, but you can't do that now.
Right.
So that's a little bit different. But he can go to Arizona, get some at bats, and be a quick flight away. But let's move on to what had that was the game the other night that they lost. And I thought Ryan Weathers pitched well, except these guys are going through stretches where the, you know, one or two bad pitches is killing them because the ball was leaving the yard. I mean, that was just, I'm still just running it back in my head as to how bad that pitch was to Contreras. And, in that particular spot, he was so close to having a really, really good outing and let it get away.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
It's springtime, and that makes everything more fun. And at Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, we find it fun saving you money during our Memorial Day sales event. Buy now and save with 0% APR financing for 72 months. On new 2021 select make and models we have in stock. So, if you need a new vehicle and another reason to smile and have fun, visit Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram online or in Escondido, San Diego, serving the San Diego community for over 60 years, where we make shopping easy.
Anyway, yesterday was much more interesting, much more controversy. Scary, scary, scary sight in left field. You know, you were there. Those are always worse in person. I always remember the Mike Cameron, Carlos Beltran collision at Petco when they were with the Mets. I think that might be the worst collision I've seen in person. Yesterday looked pretty bad. Take us through that, what you saw, what happened, what the ramifications are from an injury standpoint and also from a Tommy Pham being very upset standpoint as well.
Tommy Pham gets very upset. I think of all the guys that you're going to see kind of lose it, it's like, okay, you know, all right. Eric Hosmer loses it on someone when, you know, that's not who Eric Hosmer is. You're like, mm-hmm. we got a situation here. What's going to happen? Let's figure it out. And I'm sure, look, it was one of the things of the lack of access. Couldn't really get inside of what happened yesterday. Haven't had a chance to do that yet. Obviously, this is going to be addressed, but that's Tommy Pham. I mean, Tommy Pham gets angry. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that was toward Ha-Seon Kim. Ha-Seon Kim has played exceptionally for the role that he has had to fill. Sometimes it's a little, you know, the guy's still learning the game. The guy has, English is his second language, and it's one that he's still learning, though he can obviously communicate. And they've done it, they've created ways for him to communicate in the field. But a little bit out of, I don't want to say, I'm just going to say like out of control. I don't mean like he's out of control, but he plays pretty fast. And sometimes he's trying to get places, and he blew it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, Wrigley was almost like it was full. It was extremely loud. And it's interesting. Like I've said, the 60-game season ruined all of us because we're like, oh, my gosh, that was so fun. Oh, now there's 6 months of this thing? not having fans just for one season sort of got in the players. They're like last year, they're like, I got it. Right. and so there's no doubt that's Tommy Pham's ball. He's calling it. And, you know, there was no question he was underneath it. That is Ha-Seon Kim's fault. Tommy Pham has had to contend with four different players next to him in center field, mm-hmm. Three different shortstops, a couple different third basemen. Tommy Pham and Jorge Mateo have almost gotten into it a few times. That was frustration.
Right.
That's it. That was frustration. I'll check into it, but I had no doubt that was just Tommy Pham. All right. It's like, Jay, if you were sitting there gesturing like your co-host on this, people would be like, what's the matter? You see me doing it, going crazy. Doesn't matter. That's Tommy Pham. I thought that I thought all series, like, I know the wind swirls there. Mm-hmm. I know they're tired. I thought they played horribly in the field. It was right. It was bizarre how bad they were in the field.
Well, even yesterday, I mean, to go further with that, they had two situations yesterday where they had easy, I mean, I want to call them easy plays at home plate.
Especially the first guys. One. Mm-hmm.
Hosmer's was probably a little bit easier because he was closer to the plate, but I mean, he's got to make that play. Cronenworth then at shortstop, the same thing. And I'm not going to say it's because he was at shortstop, because he plays in the infield. And on that particular play, I don't think it matters where you are. I mean, you're fielding a ground ball and you have to throw it home. But those were two very makeable plays yesterday, you know, that cost them runs. There were Kim lost another bite. I'll never fault somebody for losing a ball in the sun. And that happened to Kim in an extended inning.
Yep.
Right. And in a game. But I mean, he had the sunglasses on. He was doing everything you're supposed to do. And sometimes it just happens where
it was nowhere near him.
Right. Where guys lose the ball. And mm-hmm. I'm sure it's scary as hell for them, you know, hoping it doesn't hit him in the head. Or something like that. But you're right. It was not a crisp series in any way, especially defensively for them. And the offense is struggling, but there are guys that are missing. And you could excuse some of that, you know, when you have, Kim is not a very good major league hitter right now. You know, there isn't much of a bench in terms of like a Jorge Mateo isn't going to come off the bench and deliver a lot of pop. So, you know, they need to get guys back. They need to get Tatis in the lineup. They need to get Grisham in the lineup. You know, I mean, Austin Nola's at least a week away, although obviously in my mind, it's probably 2 weeks at least away, but we'll see.
And then we're talking about a rehab assignment for sure.
Yeah. So, that was not good. Now, how did those guys come out of it? I think Pham had stitches in his chin. Is that correct?
Some concern that his jaw was injured and he's getting a CT scan. So, the presumption is that he will not play tonight regardless. So probably let him sleep, then go get it, the CT scan, see how it is. Give him a day of rest. The guy has been playing every day. It was a rough day yesterday. Mm-hmm. The interesting part is if Ha-Sung Kim can't play, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to make a move? Golly. Well,
and if Tatis can't play, what are you doing? Now you've got three. Are you going to have three guys out?
And so then you're making a move knowing that it's not going to be for very long,
right.
Unless, you know, Tatis has really got an oblique strain or something. But that's not the case with what we're understanding. This is where it's starting to get a little bit dicey. Again, why you did Musgrove. Look, that could have turned out well. If Blake Snell had given up two runs and Joe Musgrove came in, they could have gone 14 innings with how Joe Musgrove was pitching.
But you
don't make that move also in part because now you're making 40-man roster moves, and then you've got this situation where why did Trent Grisham, by the way, my bad, didn't even occur to me. Trent Grisham couldn't be backdated the start of his IL because you'd sent Brian O'Grady down, then brought Brian O'Grady back, and you can only do that if a person gets injured. But, I mean, there's just so much complication going on right now with the roster. This will be really interesting what happens today if – Ha-Sung Kim and Fernando Tatis Jr. can't go. Wait, you know, one person bench? Hey, Joe, we're going to need you to play left and double switch.
We know Musgrove can play left field. We've seen we've seen that happen. That segment was brought to you by Hamul Casino. Real close, real friendly, and really fun. Here is a message from our sponsor.
Going out is back, and Hamul Casino has a great event. The All-Star Block Party June 12th with free food and celebrity events. All guests in the casino get $20 free play. The All-Star Block Party, Saturday, June 12th at Hamul Casino. Get back to getting out.
I wonder also if the fact that Darvish is pitching tonight leads them to think they could certainly go without a reliever and drop someone down and to the minors and then bring up a position player for tonight. So we'll see. I mean, certainly they can cover they're covered in terms of guys. I mean, we saw at the end of the game yesterday, even with Kim out, I mean, you can play Cronenworth at short, you can play Marcano at second, you can have Mateo in the outfield. So that you got guys to fill sort of nine positions.
It's a good call, Jay, because you have Nabil Chrismat, yesterday Miguel Diaz pitched. He could be optioned, and you bring up Brian O'Grady.
Yeah.
You know, but still, it's not something that they're wanting to do at this point. And about the depth, Jay, when you're playing good teams is when it shows up. You know, you can sweep the Rockies and the Mariners with your second team if your second team's as good as the Padres.
Right, right.
But your depth is to get you through the season. It's not to beat teams, hot teams and good teams like the Cubs.
No, that's it's true. And I mean, it's worked so far, and they've had guys, you know, make contributions. But again, it was sort of like when Caratini was playing every day, you know, you saw that some of his shortcomings started to show up a little bit. And when he's able to split time and now with Webster Rivas coming up and looking like a guy who belongs, you know, behind the plate
for sure.
And you know, he hasn't had bad at bats.
We can't judge him at all.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
on that.
So, you know, there's a case where you can kind of split time there between those two guys. But yeah, I mean, it's a difficult stretch right now, as I mentioned earlier, and it will be interesting. This is the kind of game where I thought this a little bit in Houston and it didn't happen, but really needs to happen tonight, where they need Darvish to go out there and pitch seven innings of one run ball and see, and then take your chances that you can scrape out a couple runs, you know, against the Mets. But this is the night where you need you, Darvish, to be an ace.
And it's something that we need to keep an eye on here. The fact that they're not, and they haven't been, and then now the starting pitching is starting to give up 3-4 runs. But all year, it's been a little bit of a struggle. Sometimes you've had to take out pitchers earlier than you would have because it's 1-1, or you're down 2-1, or whatever it is. This isn't the series to talk about it because they're understandably going to have to scrape for runs against these pitchers most likely, but they need to start giving these starting pitchers a little bit more support too.
Right. Well, and I mentioned to you the other day in a message, and I think I tweeted it yesterday, that I believe yesterday was the seventh straight game where the Padres have not scored a run in the first inning. And I think it's 11 out of 12. And their record in just not just the first inning, but in the first four innings, although I think they did get a couple runs in the fourth inning yesterday, but their record in the first four innings ever since that Friday night Seattle game, which was what, a couple weeks ago, has just been awful. I mean, they just don't score any runs early in games. I mean, it was a stretch where basically it was, you added up all the games and it was single digit runs over a span of many games, yes. You know, covering like 40, it was like seven runs in 44 innings or something, something like that. I don't have it right in front of me, but it was really bad. And it was an indication that, of the struggling offense that they have not been able to handle the other team's starters at this point in the season.
It's very true. And so, you know, when they win and they're winning, we focus naturally on, hey, they're really crushing it. They're leading the league in run differential after the sixth inning and all that. And that right. is great. And they're playing that ball where you get to the reliever and, you know, you pour it on. Well, the Cubs have really good relievers. Yeah. And when you get to the postseason, those are going to be some really good relievers because you're going to build your staff to be able to shut teams down late in the game. So, but this is all that said, look, you just want to be able to get enough runs to beat the Mets because sure. these pitchers, sure. we're going to come full circle here. They're going to face at least three really good starters, like really good. It's mind boggling that they're going to face three of the guys in the top 12 in National League ERA in the next 4 days.
That's right.
Wow.
But they're going to counter with two guys in Darvish and Musgrove Thursday
that are in there as well.
Thursday and Saturday that are in that same group. So very
Let's
fascinating.
Let's get through a whole podcast without talking about Blake Snell.
Right, I was going to say very fascinating series, including Blake Snell's start on Friday night against pitcher TBD, and then Paddock and Stroman on Sunday to.
What if it's Snell Lucchese
to close
what
it
a
out?
Night.
That would be
what
something,
a night,
huh? Man. I'm already planning. I'm already thinking about, oh my God, how long is that game going to go? If that happens, Friday nights there have been some long Friday nights out there at Petco already, just in the first couple months of the season. But should be fun. And you know, it's too bad that the ballpark isn't opening up for this homestand, because it would have been a real blast to have, you know, Mets fans, Cubs fans out there as well, and I think the place would have been full probably for, you know, most, if not all, of the seven games. Maybe, you know, maybe not the first game tonight, but it would have been even better. And instead, we'll have to wait a couple more weeks. I do believe that tickets go on sale to the general public, I believe, tomorrow for the rest of the season. I think there is a pre-sale today if you sign up through their website or something like that. So, you know, people may want to check that out. And
Wrigley was rocking. I mean,
what was that, about 25,000 they had there?
Yes. And just like at Petco, and I'm assuming everywhere else, but it was particularly noticeable there. It's a 66% capacity is what they're allowed. Okay. And I don't know, it seemed a little higher than that. So they're finding nooks and crannies of places. It was rocking. And I mean, that it was like almost like normal, like a normal weekday there. It's unlike any other place. I had forgotten how loud a place can get, and especially with the roof closed. They're not the most, savvy. They're not always into it, but the Houston fans, extremely loud in big moments, and with the roof closed in particular, I'd forgotten what a full ballpark sounded like there.
It's funny because I've thought that it being part of the 15,000 or so at Petco, that it's been pretty loud there. There's been some pretty good noise, but there's no question that, you know, throw another 10,000 people in, and as you said, with the roof, especially in Houston. But I know that Petco will be like that in 2 weeks when the Reds come in on the 17th, and then obviously that next week against the Dodgers as well. So that's a ways away. We'll worry about this weekend with the Mets. We'll come back and talk to everybody on Monday about another series coming up against the Cubs. And meanwhile, enjoy your what time you do have at home, and enjoy the big birthday party on Saturday.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you.